I know, as a rule, people who exert their effort and strength toward Christ as kingdom, they never really feel right because they never have, as we say, any surplus, whether it be money, whether it be strength or whatever. Because if they find themselves with any surplus whatsoever, whether it's energy or whatever, they immediately begin to invest that in the kingdom of God. So then if we find ourselves with a little added strength, we find something else that we can do for God. Find a little added finance, we find something else that we can do for God. And as a consequence of that, we never have any surplus. Therefore, we just keep going and keep going and keep going on what He keeps giving us and keeps giving us and keeps giving us. So then, day by day, we receive the hidden manna from God. And like the children of Israel, constantly God is raining down the manna from heaven. And we're feeding daily, walking on with Jesus, doing the things that God hath commanded us to do. But it's wonderful to be able to come together and know that we can, by His wonderful grace, have the power of God as though the sun shineth within our strength. It's wonderful to be back here and feel His presence. It's so wonderful. So wonderful. I'd like to take just a little bit of your time reading over in the book of St. John. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. St. John, the 10th chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, I'd like to dwell on the thought here just for a little bit. One fold and one shepherd. You know, we hear a lot of things, and through life we know a lot of things. But the one thing, as I preached the other night, that's needful is to know God's word and to understand God's way of life. There are sheep, as we would say, as the Bible terms it, there are sheep that's scattered around the world today. There are, as we would say, many shepherds scattered around the world today. There are many folds scattered around the world today. And it has been so that in the past that many shepherds have led many sheep. And there has been a divisional thing. Whereas one shepherd over here in one city hath the fold, and over in another city there is another shepherd that hath the fold. And in this denomination there is one shepherd that hath the fold. And then in another denomination there is another shepherd that hath the fold. But you know, that has never been God's way nor God's plan, never before. Never before, down through the ages, it's never been God's plan, even from the beginning. God has never desired that. That's never been God's way of life. He's never wanted that for his people. But the only way that God could deal with his people was to do it that way. There was no other way. God had to do it that way because there was no other way to do it. You know, I've said this a lot of times, when you're raising little chicks, and Jesus refers to the church as little chicks, when you're raising them, you have to separate them in certain ways to keep them from trampling each other to death. And that is the only reason that God has separated his people in such a way. God has never intended for his people to be separated. There's never been a time in the history of the world that God wanted man separated. He never wanted man separated from the beginning. Even at the Tower of Babel, it wasn't God's plan to separate man. But the only thing is, when man gets together, the first thing he wants to do is to organize and put up his own way of life and raise up overseers and oversights and people that will do whatever they want to do. They don't want to follow God. There's something about man. When man organizes, man begins to use a numerical order. He begins to set up a numbering system. He just automatically does it. He does that because he feels a strength in things like that. He feels real strong if he has a numerical system. He feels real strong if he can count by number the different people that's in his organization. But again, I say, that isn't God's way of life. God doesn't want that, because God is the multitude. God is the strength. God is the life. God wants us to look unto him as being the great multitude, or the great power force that can conquer or get the job done. God doesn't want us looking to somebody else or looking to the multitude of number. God doesn't want us to go down to Egypt for help or lean upon the arm of flesh. But God wants to be glorified in the midst of his people. And God wants you to know how great and how mighty that he really is, and what he can do for us, and what he would like to do for us if we would give him opportunity to do it. So then, it has never been God's way to organize. It's never been God's way to lean upon the arm of flesh. Now, when I say organize, I mean to organize in an ecclesiastical bond whereby you set overseers over the flock. That is to say, overseers which the Holy Ghost hath not made overseers. The Bible said, taking the oversight over the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, or the living God that he hath purchased with his blood. Therefore, it's not God's way to have many folds. It's not God's way to have many flocks. It's not God's way to have many shepherds. God has but one fold. God hath but one flock. And God hath but one shepherd. And that is that great shepherd, Jesus Christ, that he raised from the dead, the only true shepherd, the good shepherd, to whom the sheep belong. So then, when we understand this, we realize that all that ever came before him are thieves and robbers. I am the door, Jesus said. No man can come to the Father but by me. It's through this great door, the great door, Jesus Christ, that the sheep are able to go in and out and graze in the wonderful pastures of God. You know, it's obvious when we look around us, we see pastors of all kind, preachers of all kind. It's very obvious that they're not concerned about the sheep. They're concerned about fame. They're concerned about what they call their ministry. They're concerned about being up in the eyes of the public. And they're concerned about many things, monetary values, all of these things. But they're not really concerned about the sheep. But Jesus wasn't looking for an offering. Jesus wasn't looking for fame. The Bible said he never never sought to make of himself any reputation. It wasn't Christ's desire to have a great reputation. All he wanted to do was to help the lost. All he wanted to do was to help the poor, help feed the poor, and help those that could not help themselves. All he wanted to do was see people happy, see people free from sickness and oppression and those things that distorted life. For he said, I am the good shepherd. I've come to give you life. I'm the Prince of Life, Jesus said. I've come to give you life. I've come that you might have life, and that you have it, might have it in great abundance. I've come that you can have this great life filled up in overflowing, Jesus said. I want you to have life, folks. I want you to have life, he said. Not just life, but rather filled up in overflowing life. I've come that you can have a great abundance of living, the kind that comes from God. I don't want you to be distorted in your life. I don't want you to die a premature life. I don't want you to be drafted in the things that you desire to do in life that's right for you. I want you to be filled up and overflowing with the life of God. I want you to have the very best. I want to fulfill the number of your years. And when your days are at an end, I would like to extend them, extensively speaking, without number. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You see, God doesn't care for a numerical system. The reason is, the Bible tells us that he is the Ancient of Days. Nobody can number God's days. Isn't that right? No one knows the number of God's days. God's days has never been numbered, beloved friend. There is no way to tell God's age. God is without days, without beginning, without end. Is that right? So then, God doesn't believe in a numerical order. He wants to give you a life that no one can number your days. God wants to give you a life that no one can number your days. God doesn't need a numerical system to run the world. Antichrist wants a numerical system. Antichrist wants the number order, because that's the only way that he can account for things. He has to do it through a human brain, and that's the only way he can do it, is run it through a computerized system. Isn't that right? He can run the world, have control of the world so far as money is concerned. But to be able to really control people, he's got to have a computerized system to where he can put his finger on any man just by means of a number. So he can have control of his leaders throughout the world. Isn't that right? But God doesn't need that. God is everywhere all the time. The Bible said he is above us, he is in us, and he is through us. He fills the earth, he fills the heavens. God is everywhere at all time. The Bible said his eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. God sees the good, God sees the evil. He is rewarding every man accordingly. Isn't that right? God is everywhere. Therefore, he doesn't need a numerical system to have control of his people. Is that right? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Antichrist wants to set up something to do that. Jesus doesn't need many shepherds. Jesus doesn't need many folds. Jesus doesn't need many different orders around the earth. God doesn't need many different doctrines. There is one faith, one God, one Lord, one baptism. There is one shepherd, one fold, one world of God. That's the kind of God he is. And so then, what we're trying to do is work toward that one great order to bring in that great chief shepherd. If I'm faithful in the position that God has placed me in, then, beloved friend, I will receive a crown that fadeth not away. When the good shepherd appears, he can come forth and God will receive his sheep, and I shall receive a crown that fadeth not away. For the good shepherd will come forth, and the good shepherd shall take control of all the sheep throughout the world. Therefore, there's but one shepherd, and there's but one sheep. At Babylon, God had to separate the people. Though it wasn't God's pleasure, God didn't have any pleasure in seeing his people divided. God is not the spirit of division. God hath never wanted people separated. God loves to see people together. But when sin got in, when strife got in, when trouble came, when man began to organize and man began to build his own thing, when man began to desire to build up what he wanted and lean upon monetary values by the organizability of human strength, counting the power of his strength according to men and women, God had to do something about it. And when God saw them coming together at Babylon, what did he do? He had to scatter them to the four winds of the earth. There was no other way to do it. They said, come, let us get together. We'll build us a tower, even a tower that shall reach up unto the heavens. Isn't that what they're doing today? Isn't that exactly what they're doing today? They're building them a tower. They've reached all the way to the stars, to the moon. They haven't stopped. They're going on to Mars and different places. Building them a tower, getting together, deciding what they can do. That's why God still allows war between America and between the foreign countries. That's why God lets there be continual war. Because if they ever came together in a brotherly peace, they would compact themselves together in such strength and such power until the Bible said there wouldn't be anything hid from them. Isn't that right? And they want to leave God out. They want to leave God, the chief cornerstone, out. But you know, it's like the foundation and like the pyramid from the four corners. They can build and build and build and build and build. But after a while, when they get up to the top, they're going to find the cornerstone is missing. They're going to look for something and find out that Christ is the answer. Isn't that right? It's going to take Christ, because when they get all the way to the top, it isn't going to fit together without God. Why is it that the stones of the earth don't fit together right now? Why is it that Russia cannot get along with America, and America cannot get along with Germany, and Germany cannot get along with France? Why is it? We're all from Adam, isn't that right? By the first birth. Why is it that we're one family of humanity? Why is it that we cannot get along? It's all because that one cornerstone at the top of that pyramid that makes us all relative, it's missing. It's missing. But beloved friend, if we ever place that in its proper place, then everybody will flow together in beautiful harmony. Everybody will relate one to another and will find out the greatness of God is one shepherd, one fold, one great building. And that's the way it'll be throughout eternity. All right, so then God had to scatter them at Babylon. It wasn't his pleasure to do that, but he had to do it. Look at the days of David. God raised up David. And look at David, a great mighty shepherd, a great mighty leader, a great mighty king. But when David got big, what did he do? David resorted to the numerical order. After David had went out as one man, defeated Goliath, defeated the alien armies, took God by faith and went out. Then when David got over there and got messed up in his life, all kind of things happened to him. All kind of wives and doing the things that was out of harmony with God. Then what did David do? He began to lean upon the arm of flesh. He began to count his army. He said, Joab, we better count the army and see how much strength we got. And when he began to do that, what did God do? It really enraged God in the way that we say. It upset God. It disturbed God to think that God had picked up one single lone individual, picked him up and went out and fought the battle and had won the battle when the entire army was defeated. It displeased God to think that that same great leader would then begin to count the number of his strength and trust in the power of arms and begin to want to know how great and how powerful his army was. And it displeased God very much. Isn't that right? You see, God doesn't lean upon the power of numerical order. God doesn't lean upon the power of numerical order. God doesn't want that. God doesn't desire that. What God wants us to do is count him the majority. When Gideon went to fight the battle, though he had many people, God said, Gideon, if I win this war by the hand of this great multitude, they're not going to glorify God. They're not going to say this thing has been a supernatural act. why they expect it of you. This is why that God many times will pick up, as we say, an ignorant fisherman and take that ignorant fisherman, that man without ability, that man that has no skill, and use him in the ministry to confound the people. God will do that. Why does he do that? So that he can get the glory. So that he can get the faith. He can get faith out of the man's heart and get the glory. Because if he raised up some great scholar, if he gets some great person that's been through so many colleges and whatever, God doesn't get any glory out of it. God does the same thing when it comes to the minority. God will use just a few people to put over a great program. And then when the world stands and looks in awe, then they say, my, that must have been God. How do you know that's God? They'll say, well, look at what we did. And my, look at the manpower. Look at the contributions. Look at what we had to do. Look at what we had to peddle and sell and the suppers and everything else to be able to do it. But those people did it without any of that. My, God must be with them folks. Therefore, God is brought into view. Therefore, God is glorified and faith is seen. Hallelujah. And the world receives the light so that they can escape death and poverty and sickness. So then God is the majority. Always God is the majority. David, you're in trouble. Why? Because you had to number the army. Because you're leaning upon the arm of flesh. When you trusted God, you made it real good, didn't you? When you trusted God, God always answered your prayer, didn't he? When you look to God, didn't God make you the majority? Always. You know, like the man that got his armor bearer, he come over and he said, look, said, come on and go with me. Said, there's an army out yonder. Let's go out and fight them. But he said, there's nobody but me and you. Said, well, that don't make any difference. Said, the battle is not to the strong. The battle is the Lord's. Isn't that right? Why, the race is not to the swift. It belongs to God. Is that right? So then he said, come on, we can win it. We don't have to have an army. God's the one that's going to win the battle anyway. All I want you to do is go with me. And the Bible says that he took his armor bearer and went out there and defeated the entire army. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said he went out and defeated the entire army because he had faith in God. Look at Samson. What did Samson do? By faith in God, he went out and defeated the entire army. Isn't that right? When the rest of the people were afraid, when that great army came over, why, all the city was afraid. Many men were afraid. But old brother Samson wasn't afraid. Glory to God, when the anointing of God came upon Samson and the power of God came upon Samson, he wasn't afraid. He went through 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, just walked right through them. Old David, at the beginning of his ministry, he wasn't afraid. He said, I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall. Somebody say amen. I tell you, when you got God, brother, you can do anything. Is that right? With God that strengthens me, I can do all things, Paul said. And if I don't have God, I can't do anything. Jesus said, without my Father, I do nothing. I do always the thing that I see my Father do. Therefore, being strengthened by the power and the might of the inner man, what can we do if we trust in the living God? It is God's way, always God's way, to want us to operate by faith. I tell you, a lot of times, we that are God's people, we don't have any surplus. We don't have any surplus. We don't have any surplus energy. We don't have any surplus strength. We don't have any surplus money. We don't have any surplus. All that we have, we use it up for God. We drive for God. Why? Because this keeps us living by faith. Isn't that right? When Moses came out of Egypt, God could have rained down from heaven. God could have rained down from heaven bushels and bushels of hidden manna, couldn't he? More than what they needed. God could have done it. Couldn't he have done it? But he didn't do it, did he? He only sent daily what they could eat. He only rained down from heaven daily what they could eat. Why did God not give them a little surplus? Because he knew that they would not live by faith. And the whole program was to bring them out of Egypt, to get them away from the garlic and the onions and the bread basket, so that he could teach them to lean upon God and stop trusting in the bread basket and stop trusting in the power of their own powers of ingenuity. It's always been God's way to bring people out of the world to do that. That's why that I don't favor pushing the people to try to get the children to get all kind of education, all kind of college, and all these other things, because it isn't God's plan to do that. The more that you push children into that area, you're pushing them into the world, and you're learning to lead on the broken staff of the world. The more you push them into that way, the more you cause them to lean to their own understanding, beloved friend. God's plan is just exactly the opposite. That's why God has suffered so many people to be ignorant like they are, to pull them out and to make them a great and a mighty people, knowing that they would become rejected stones by the world, and the world would not have them, and that they could not make their way in the world. Therefore, they would have to look to a different source. And knowing that they would have to look to a different source, that they would call upon the name of Jesus, and God could magnify himself in the eyes of those that had become the rejected stones. Somebody say amen. You say, Brother Pike, do you condone ignorance? I certainly do not condone ignorance. The Bible said all of them that are of God are of a good understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, when you follow God, God will take care of it. When you follow God, God will make the way. God wants you to lean upon him. The whole operation is faith, friend. The whole operation is to trust in God. The whole operation is to realize what you are not and what he is. The whole operation is to glorify God, not yourself. The whole operation is to believe in the strength of Christ and not in your own strength. Is that right? Everything that God has ever done has been to magnify the Son of God, that he might catch your attention, to have you believe in the Spirit of life, that you might not come short in anything. All right, so then we love Jesus. Amen. God doesn't like many folds. God doesn't need many shepherds. God doesn't want a divided flock. All right, brother preacher, now where are you going to get scripture to prove that? The Bible said, when I bring Zion again, Zion shall see eye to eye. They shall all speak the same thing. They shall walk hand in hand. They will not break ranks, and they will not pierce each other through. Is that right? There will be one shepherd, and there will be one fold. When I bring Zion again, he said, this is the way that it's going to be. And so then we see that God doesn't want everything divided up and split up in splinters. God wants us to be together. But there's one thing that God doesn't want aside from that, and that is for you to try to mix darkness with light. God doesn't want you to get a charismatic order out here in the world that half-hearted in the doctrine of Christ and say, come and be my brother. God doesn't want you compromising the gospel. God wants you to come out from among them and be a separate people. And touch not the unclean thing, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. God wants them to follow you, not for you to follow them. God wants them to follow you to be one people. You say, now, Brother Pike, you say, God wants us to be one people, and here you are dividing. It's telling us to go two different ways. No, I'm not dividing you, telling you to go two different ways. The only division that's in my heart toward you is to divide the sheep from the goat. That's all. The Bible said he'll put the goats on the left hand and the sheep on the right hand in that day. Isn't that right? God will do that. But there's one thing about it. I'm not trying to divide you away from the people. I'm only saying that you are not to follow after the world, but you must make the people follow after you. They're supposed to follow you. You're not supposed to follow them. Let's be leaders. Let's make them follow us. So then, I say again, God doesn't want a numerical order. It's not in God's way. It's not in God's will to have a numerical order. God wants one thing, and that is for the church to come together in the unity of the Spirit, in the unity of the faith, in the unity of the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to come to that one great chief shepherd, which is the Son of God, that we may give our all unto Him and trust in Him with all of our heart. That's God's plan, that we follow Him with all of our life, all of our heart. Now, if God is not for all of this thing that's causing the division, then why should it be so divided? I say that in the last, in the past years, that it hath been divided. I say that in the past years, it hath been many shepherds. But have you noticed that from time to time, God would raise up a group of shepherds? And maybe whereas there was maybe 1,000 shepherds, it narrowed down to 500 by those outstanding leaders. And then they would fall aside. Maybe there's going to be 100 great leaders. And it would narrow down again. And it would narrow down again. Why did God do that? A centralized government, a centralized move, by the process of elimination, bringing everything down, step by step. Why? Because the pyramid at the bottom is wide and broad. The angel stood upon the four corners of the earth. Isn't that right? Holding the four winds. But brother, as they come up, saying, I will seek thee out. I will search thee out from the four corners of the earth. But as the elevation gets greater, as the dimensional heights grows greater, as we move on toward God, we are narrowing down. The great pyramid narrows down. It's not as broad when you get halfway up as it was at the bottom. But it narrows down and it gets more narrow as it comes to the top. And eventually, by the process of elimination, there is but one shepherd and one fold. There is but one flock. There is but one God, one faith, one baptism. Though they started off with many faiths, many baptisms, many gods, it narrows down to but one. When you finally get up to the top, what do you have? And in that day, Jesus Christ Himself alone shall be exalted. And in that day, there shall be no healing medicines, and no man shall save them. For He alone shall be exalted in that day. So then we see it narrowing down. Is that right? We see it all narrowing down. What is it? What is it that's taking place? Beloved friend, we're way up the ladder now. We're way up here in the heavenlies now. Way up here in this place up here where it has got very narrow. Men have dropped aside. People are still watching. What is the coming object now? The object of worship that we mentioned the other night. The object of worship. What is this object of worship? We know that to the world there's many gods, but to us the Bible said one God. What is the word God, object of worship? What are we moving toward? Everything from the four corners, from the foundation of the great apostolic teachings, the church at Pentecost. What has it done? All move toward one thing. That great, wonderful capstone, the object of worship. Everything pointing toward Him. Everything moving upward toward Him. And so then what are we doing? We're growing up into the fullness of Jesus Christ. And what is the last thing to come about? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Look back in the Old Testament, you'll find it. Come in the New Testament, you'll find it. But when you go through the last stages of the last step of the book, the last thing is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You say, what does that mean, Brother Pike? It means we're nearer home than we were yesterday. It means that we're getting closer all the time to the great, wonderful light of that city. Getting closer and closer. God doesn't need many shepherds. God doesn't need many folds. Isn't that right? God has one shepherd. God has one fold. That one fold is the bride of Christ, the true church of the living God, the church of the firstborn.
That one shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That one shepherd. So then there is but one, and that is him. A lot of times we sing the song 111, there's only one way to God, baptized in Jesus' name. 111. I know that people have made a great mistake in stressing baptism in water in Jesus' name and sidestepping salvation, and they become a bunch of fanatics with something, got hard and callous and cold and driven people away, and they've not had any love or any understanding to invite them in. I realize that. But brothers and sisters, it don't change the fact that baptism in water in Jesus' name is the right way. You know, I say this so often. Sheep clothing is sheep clothing. Somebody say, but Brother Pike, that's wolves in sheep clothing. Perhaps so. But it doesn't make any difference whether the wolf has it on or whatever. It's still sheep clothing. It's still sheep clothing. The wolf may hide underneath the wool of the sheep to get into the flock, as we would say. But it's still sheep clothing. Therefore, if it's sheep clothing, then it's still required that you wear it. You wear it. God will get rid of the wolf. You wear it. That's the thing to do. You wear it. You love Jesus? You know, I could go on and on talking about this good old way. I could go on and on preaching. Because when I get along here, I'm just getting ready to preach when I get along here, because I get steamed up like a steam engine, you know, and really want to preach the gospel. But I appreciate your kindness and your attention and you coming to be with us from time to time and listening. I really appreciate it. You know, I try not to wear your patience here because I don't want to do anything to harm you. But I was thinking the other day, I read where there was a man down in a certain part of country preaching, and he preached 6 hours to him every night. 6 hours to him every night. Their service was 6 hours. And he said, well, Brother Pike, if you got any plans for tonight, I might have. Drop in a full word. But you know, that really makes you know something, that people somewhere are hungry for God, folks. And we say, I wonder what's happening to America. You know what it is? When those people are willing to stay there and listen 6 hours, and we're not even willing to listen 60 minutes a lot of times, then we understand what's happening, isn't that right? Whereas I don't feel you're restless this morning in that sense. I think you would listen. You're paying attention real good. I really think you would listen. But I'm going to let you go this morning. I want you to stand with me. I was a little late coming this morning. I realized that I was late getting here. I didn't mean to be late, but I was. And now then, if you love Jesus, I want you to lift your hands up with me. Let's just lift our hands up to heaven, close our eyes. I say this so many times to my congregation. Examine yourselves, brethren. See if you be in the Lord. See if you're really convicted in the word or in heresy, ideas, feelings, things that you've thought or whatever. See if you're convicted in the word of God. Someday, should you press your death or dying pillow, when you do that, immediately you're going to need Jesus, and you're going to need to know the truth then. Heresy won't do. You know, while you're alive, you can just say anything, do anything, and push over your feelings or whatever just because it makes you feel better. You can do all of those things, and it's all right because you're alive. But when you go to press your death pillow, there's not but one thing that's going to breach you over, and that is the truth of God's great loving word. So whatever you do, be wide awake in Christ. Be wide awake in God. Let the Lord lead you and give you the truth. The truth shall make you free. Free from doubt, free from all the worries of life, free from everything that's unlike Jesus, free from sickness, poverty, distortion of mind and heart. Get a gold. Let God program your mind, folks. Don't program your mind with your own thing through life and be sad and sorrowful at the end of the day. Life is swifter than a shuttle. It's going by fast, and after a while, you'll look and you'll say, what have I done for Jesus? What have I done for Jesus? And then you'll want to blame somebody. Most assuredly, you'll say he's to blame, she's to blame, they're to blame. But you know that's not true. You're to blame. Your sovereignty, you're to blame. You kick up your heels, act like you want to, snort and say what you want to, and still go on doing the way you want to do. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now, what is it you're to blame? Why not do something for God while you can do something for God? Why not reach out for God while you can reach out for God? Why not help somebody while you can help somebody? And quit finding fault with others and blaming others. And do what you say, well, Brother Pike, I need some direction. I need somebody to tell me. You know better than that. When you're stubborn and rebellious and you go where you want to and do what you want to day after day. And then when you can't make it work, you say, well, I know who's to blame. They didn't tell me. You know better than that. You know better than that. Oh, brother, sister, if you listen to the word of God, you listen to the minister to begin with, you follow the ways of God to begin with, you'll excel. You'll excel. Like the brother said the other night, it caused people trouble, caused churches trouble, caused himself trouble. And he found out with all of that, that didn't give him a ministry. That didn't help him do nothing for God. And now he's ready to turn around and go back the other way and find out the error of his way. Just lift your hands, close your eyes while I exalt you, while I talk to you. Let the words sink down deep. Shake everything out of your soul and spirit. Don't just let these words come to you. But friend, let them find a lodging place in your heart. Let them find a lodging place. Let them wash out the other. Let these become the very definition of life to you. And let these settle deep down in your soul and in your heart. And know that God is speaking to you and that God is trying to help you. Hallelujah. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father. Oh God, as we stand here in the lovely name of the Son of God, I pray in the name of Jesus that Thy great and mighty Spirit, Holy Father, would move out over the audience. And dear God, I pray that if there be sick among us, they shall be healed, oh God. I pray that if there be those that are bound with evil spirits, they shall be delivered. I pray thee, oh God, if there be those, Father, that's needing a touch from heaven, Lord, that you'd do something special for them this morning. Father, give them a vision. If they're without vision this morning, give them a vision, oh God. Father, direct their path and show them the right ways of life. I ask of thee, O God of heaven, to be with us today. Lord, keep our people safe wherever they journey. Father, keep them saved. Father, keep them filled with the love of God and with the righteousness of Christ. O God, that you may talk to their minds on the spur of the moment to protect them, God, from the detriments of life. I pray thee, O God, that you'd help them, Lord God. Keep them from cancer. Keep them from sickness. Keep them from the poverties of life, O God of heaven, that they may have the blessings of God. I ask in the name of Jesus that you do something outstanding for them this morning. May there be a special touch from heaven. May there be a special way of life. God, may there be a special people. May they shine a special light in the earth that others may see and others may desire and that others may know that this is the way. For Jesus, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, Heavenly Father, let it be so. Let the great love of God be here. Let the great light of God be here. Let the great shining light of God be throughout the earth. And oh, God, even as in the book of Revelation, when the great angel of God came down with such great glory that it lightened all the earth. May the earth today, all of the earth, be lightened by the great glory of that coming event. I pray in the name of Jesus that it would be so, Heavenly Father. May our eyes be enlightened to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the widths of your great wonderful truths and your great wonderful ways of life. Build our faith, Jesus, and help us believe in the great things of God. I ask you to do it for your glory. I ask you to do it for your great name's sake, Heavenly Father. I feel your loving Holy Ghost and your loving presence. And I ask of thee to be with us this morning. Bless every person. I commit them to thy trust and thy care, Holy Father, that thou mayest watch over them and keep them in the lovely name of Jesus through this day and every day to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus together. Have faith in God. Can you sing it with me? Let's have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in God. Can you sing it again now? Let's have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Can you have faith in God this morning? Can you have faith in God this morning? I want you to think over the things I said this morning. Remember, everything is narrowing down. Everything is getting narrow. Everything is getting higher. Everything is pointing to the coming of that great shepherd of the sheep. Everything is looking upward. Jesus said, look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. Everything is looking up. Everything is looking up. The coming of the Lord, even the world is looking up. Isn't that right? For the Bible said, every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. He's coming. All the brightness of his glory. Oh, the brightness of his glory. And they shall narrowly look upon him that pierced him. Oh, but Brother Pike, how can it be that they shall do that? For they've passed on and they're in the grave. But the Bible says, when he appears, the grave shall burst open and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Though the wicked dead shall not live again until the 1,000 years are finished, yet God shall penetrate the grave with the brightness of his coming. Right on down, right on down. You say, but Brother Pike, the Bible teaches that the dead know not anything. I realize that, but the Bible said the rich man looked up from the flames of hell and said, I'm tormented in these flames. Oh, Father Abraham, I see you. I see you. I see Abraham. I see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. I see you. I see you. So then every eye shall see him. And they that pierced him shall narrowly look upon him. For every eye shall behold him. The time is drawing near. The time is drawing near. Let's consider this morning. As once again we lift our hands to heaven, I'm going to ask our brother Taylor to come and dismiss us. I want you to once again lift your hands to heaven as he comes to pray the prayer of benediction. And I want you to thank on God this morning. And I want you to ask Jesus. Just say, Jesus, Lord, have I pleased you? Lord, have I been one to mumble and to grumble about everything I've ever done? Have I tried to be faithful over that which you've committed to my trust? Lord, do I blame everybody with my shortcomings and my failures? Oh God, what is it? What is it, oh Lord? Help me therefore, Jesus, to do the right thing. Be kind unto me and help me to understand. God, rehabilitate me, reinstate me in the love of God and in the grace of God. Make me to be a great and mighty figure in the earth for the wonderful kingdom of God. Let me be a pillar in the temple of God that I can hold up the name of the lovely Son of God. Oh, beloved friend, you don't know what you're missing. Beloved friend, you don't know what you're doing. If you knew how fragile that life is, how short that life is, if you only understood, if you only understood, but you have to go through the chambers of despair. You have to go by the way of the whipping post, and you have to walk down by Calvary before you ever understand, and then it's too late. It's too late then. Oh, if you could but understand. Look out and call on his name. Draw nigh to him while there's time, that he may draw nigh to you. Don't just be a nobody and a nothing to lounge around, to eat your life away, to sleep your life away, to gossip your life away, to resent others and find fault, just to wash your life away with that old carnal reasoning of yours. Don't do that. But oh, beloved friend, be a light for Jesus. Be a light for Jesus. Be a testimony. Oh, hallelujah. Be a testimony for Jesus. Be a real testimony for Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost falling on you. As when Peter preached to him at Cornelius, he says, I can feel the Holy Ghost falling on you. Hallelujah. I can feel him falling on you. Oh, talk with him this morning. Let him have his way this morning. Let him have his way this morning. We sang the song, let him have his way until the day is done. Hallelujah. Let him have his way that he may bless you. For he's the great and mighty Jehovah God. He has something good for you if you'll only listen to him. Can you listen? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. If you have an ear this morning, hear. Oh, hear, friend. Remember thy Creator today. Remember thy Creator now. Turn unto him with all of your heart, with all of thanksgiving and praise and supplication, to love him, to praise him, to magnify him with all of your soul. Because in the hour that he calls your name, there is not one thing that you can take with you. You cannot take your husband with you. You cannot take your wife with you. You cannot take your darling children with you. You cannot take your money, nor your possessions with you, nor your friends, nor your loved ones in any manner. You cannot take them with you. You cannot take anything with you. Even the clothes that you wear, you cannot take them with you. As that inner man goes to step across the Jordan. Came ye naked into the world, so ye go naked out of the world, stripped of everything, to stand before him, to have not anything to offer, lest you should have the blood of Jesus as the atonement, waiting to say, all that I have to offer is the blood of the Son of God. I'm stripped of everything, Heavenly Father. I have nothing. I stand here before you, Lord, all barren, except I plead the blood of the Son of God. I plead the blood of the Son of God in my behalf. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a day that shall be when my Savior I shall see. When I take him by the hand and he leads me to the promised land. Hallelujah. What a day, glorious day. What a day that shall be. Hallelujah. What a time. What a glorious moment. What a glorious moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just love him for just a moment before we dismiss. Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. Oh, hallelujah. We love you this morning. Oh, hallelujah. We love you this morning, Jesus. And we're looking unto thee, the author and the finisher of our faith, the bringer of our salvation. Hallelujah, we're looking unto thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise thee this morning for thy wonderful blessing, Heavenly Father. Forgive our sins and our mistakes and errors. Keep us in the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have your way this morning. Yea, have I not spoken unto thee this morning that I might comfort and console thee? Yea, have I not said unto thee that thou mightest hear the words of the Lord, that thou mightest know the pathway in which thou shalt walk? Yea, for the Lord is with thee, and the Lord is beside thee. Yea, and the Lord desireth thee. Therefore the Lord calleth unto thee. Yea, for the time of the shepherd is at hand. Yea, for the good shepherd shall come to seek the sheep. I say unto thee that thou must be ready. Yea, for I am the author and the finisher of your salvation. I have not left thee alone. Yea, I have not left thee by thyself. But I, the Lord, shall come unto thee. Yea, even as I have promised and spoken by my word and through the mouth of the prophets, the mysteries of God shall be finished. Yea, I shall finish the great mysteries of God, and I shall come forth, even as I have promised through the mouth of the prophets, to receive the inheritance that belongeth unto me. Yea, and he that watcheth for me, it is he that shall not be found naked, for he shall have a garment. Yea, for I shall give him of the garment of God that hath been tried in the fire. Yea, for I have purged him that he might be mine, and might be clean, cleaner than full of soap can make him. For I, the Lord, walketh among the people. I am he that walketh in the midst of the stones of fire, and I am he that seeth. Yea, I am he that knoweth, and I am he that speaketh to the heart. I am he that directeth. I am he that saith unto thee that thou mayest have life. Yea, and that more abundantly, if thou shalt follow in the steps following after the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Ramanda Rabashita Ramanda Rabasaya. Hallelujah. Can we love him and praise him? Can we love him and praise him? Hallelujah. Can we love him and praise him? Hallelujah. Oh, Ramanda Rabashita Ramanda Rabasaya. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, let us praise him. Can we praise him? Hallelujah. Let us praise him. Let's sing that song. Let us praise him. Can we? Oh, let us praise him. Let us praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at